Well, we're in a series where we're going through the seven I am statements of Jesus, and we're on statement number two. Last week, I appreciate Doug Coburn was here and talked about the bread of life. But to understand the I am statements, we really need to understand the importance of that first part of that statement. So last week it was, I am the bread of life. This week we're going to talk about Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But we can't rush past the I am part. And the reason that's so significant is because of what we understand Jesus to be doing, and that is identifying himself as God. If we remember back a couple weeks ago when we introduced this series, we took a look back in Exodus chapter 3, where Moses was being called by God to go lead the Israelites to freedom. And God has this conversation with Moses at a burning bush. And there's a whole bunch of interesting dynamics about that. But one of the things that happens in the conversation is Moses asks the question, well, who should I tell sent me? Like, I can't say, you know, some voice from a burning bush. I mean, he could say that, but he wanted a little more clarity. He said, who should I say sent me? And God replied, I am who I am. Tell them I am has sent you. And God has been, since that day, been identified or known. One of the ways we refer to God is the great I am. And so when Jesus makes these statements about I am and something else that follows, which is what we're in the series studying, but we can't rush past the fact that what he's saying is, I am God. And then the statement is giving us an understanding of how he relates to us as God. And so, you know, I don't want us to rush past that when we see I am, the significance of Jesus identifying himself as indeed God. And as I said last week, Doug shared about the bread of life. This week, we're going to look at the statement Jesus made in John chapter 8, verse 12. So if you have a Bible and you'd like to look into God's word this morning, would that be okay with you? All right, so I appreciate the Bills jersey, by the way. Who's excited for the Bills game tonight? Yeah, see, a little bit louder for the Bills. I'm not too sure about that. All right, John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus said this. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Here's the statement. I am the light of the world. And this is a clear distinction as he goes on to say, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of light. And Jesus is making a clear distinction between light and darkness. And we understand that distinction, right? From the physical standpoint, and by the way, so oftentimes Jesus and Paul as well, but Jesus specifically would use physical illustrations to help us understand a spiritual truth. And that's a little bit of what's happening here, right? He says, I am the light of the world. And he's making a distinction between light and darkness. And we get that, I think, most of us get that from a physical sense, right? We understand the difference between light and darkness. And I'm not talking about, you know, how much you're toasting your toast, light and dark, but I'm talking about the distinction between light, which has certain properties and benefits to it, and darkness, which we'll talk about in a couple of minutes as well. So as I said a couple of weeks ago, John's focus in this gospel is he wants people to really get a good, clear view of who Jesus is. And if we understand Jesus identifies himself as the light of the world, then it's no surprise that at the very beginning of this gospel, in John chapter 1, John points out that as well. In John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, John said this, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Jesus has been identified as light and life in Scripture and other places, as well as where he specifically identifies himself as the light of the world. A little bit later in John chapter 1, John said in verse 9, true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. And so this idea, this illustration, this truth of Jesus being the light of the world, we see consistent through Scripture, not just Jesus' own words, although that carries a tremendous amount of, of weight, right? And so we talked about the significance, or we're talking about the significance of the distinction between light and darkness, right? And I think we understand that. So let me just remind you of some things that I'm sure you know are true when it comes to light. First of all, light reveals things, right? Specifically, light reveals the darkness. It reveals things that are in the dark, right? If you were walking around and you couldn't quite see, you might want to turn a light on, right? Or if you're outside and, you know, you're in your backyard and it's, you know, late at night and the sun's down and there's really no moonlight, you know, you might take a flashlight with you, turn the light on because you're looking for something. I don't know about you, but there's been times where I come home at night and it's dark in the driveway and I, you know, get out of the car and I drop something. I'm like, oh no. So what, you know, we grab our phone, we turn the flashlight on our phone because we want to see, right? There's a distinction between light and darkness. And darkness is simply the absence of light, but light reveals things. I don't know about you. I'm guessing it's true about you because I don't want to feel like I'm that weird, but I don't know about you, but there are times if I'm walking around and it's dark, I whack my shin on things. Anybody ever done that? Like, yeah, or you hit your toe and you're like, oh, and then your spouse goes, like, what happened? You okay? Yeah, I just hit my toe again. Is it broken? I don't know, but it hurt. You know, they go through that whole thing, right, when you're walking around in darkness, right? Because darkness hides things that are dangerous. Maybe not inherently dangerous, but because you're in the dark, they become dangerous, right? The bedpost is not out to really hurt you, but it does, right? So light reveals things that are dangerous and harmful. Now, if we take this application and Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, what do we understand from the physical illustration? Is that Jesus, providing light to our lives, not just physically, but spiritually, can help us understand those things that we might find ourselves bumping into in this life that are actually dangerous or harmful to us, right? There are certain things that we find in the Word, we find Jesus teaching that says, you know, you might want to avoid that. And the reason that's there is because God's trying to protect us from things that are dangerous or harmful to us. He's shedding light, insight into the way we go through this life. Just like when you get up in the middle of the night at 2 in the morning because you got to go to the bathroom, you really hope there's a light somewhere so that you don't whack your toe again. God desires, Jesus desires to shed some light into those things so we can avoid those things that are dangerous or harmful to us. I don't know if you've ever gone through a situation, gone through an experience where you're like, oh, if I just only known that, how did I not see that? How did I not get that? I mean, I just ran headfirst into that thing. Well, it could be because there wasn't the opportunity that you didn't allow God to shed some light into that situation for you, to give you some guidance to avoid or at least reveal those things that potentially are dangerous or harmful to us. The other thing that light does is it shows us the right way to go, right? It shows us the right way. Years ago, I was hunting down in Pennsylvania. By the way, archery season opens up this week for those that are hunters. For those that are not but like to walk in the woods, wear something bright, please. That's helpful. Not your, look at my Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer hat. Don't wear that as you walk around the woods this week, all right? But I was hunting a few years ago, several years ago, down in Pennsylvania, and it was before cell phones. So I didn't have the flashlight in my pocket that I could just put with the cell phone, but I didn't have a flashlight. But as I found out, as the day progressed and then it got dark and I was starting to walk out, and it takes us about an hour and a half to walk out from where we walk into, my flashlight batteries went dead, and then I had a difficult time seeing. And, you know, when you're wandering around in the darkness, there's nothing you want more than light, because it shows you the right way to go. As it turns out, I was getting a little nervous, and I did some things and figured out, because I made some noise with the gun, and my friends who were part of the hunting party, I thought if I if I shoot the gun, then they would know, you know, it's way after dark, so they would know, okay, he's trying to figure something out. And then they beep the car horn, and then I kind of turn. I'm like, okay, the car horn's there, which means I need to walk this way. And it was like 30 yards, and I was on the trail. But if I had light, I would have seen that clearly, right? Light shows us the right way to go. And that's part of what Jesus is trying to help us understand. He has the ability, in the midst of a pretty dark world at times, to show us the right way to go. I don't know how many of us in this room, but I would guess it's a vast majority. There have been times where we've wondered, I'm not sure the right thing to do here. I'm not sure the right way to go. I'm not sure the right direction. And Jesus is saying, I will help show you that way. I can reveal the right way to go. And quite honestly, too many of us don't lean into that relationship with God, and we end up kind of stumbling around in the darkness longer than we need to. Longer than, quite honestly, is healthy for us too at times, right? Because when you're stumbling around in the darkness, you run into those harmful, dangerous things. And so the distinction between light and darkness is so powerful because light is revealing. It shows us the right way to go. Light dispels darkness too. You know, have you ever been in a dark room and you just need one little light and now you don't notice the darkness quite as much? In fact, what you notice is the light, right? Light dispels darkness. Darkness doesn't overcome light, right? If you were in your living room and it was 2 a.m. and you had a candle lit, there's no more darkness that you could add to your living room to squelch that candle, right? Light is more powerful than darkness. Because light dispels darkness. Darkness is, in fact, simply the absence of light. It's simply the absence of light. One of the things that we do, a lot of you know I'm involved in firefighting, and part of the training for firefighters is, we have to go sometimes into smoke-filled buildings, right? And I don't know if you've ever been in a smoke-filled building, but you can't see anything, and you're just trying to figure stuff out. And so one of the things we do for training is we get firefighter all geared up, all the turnout gear, air pack, mask, and then we black out the mask. And then we send them into like a obstacle course that you might encounter any of those obstacles inside a burning building. And the goal is they've got to get through the obstacle course successfully. And there's a few things that can happen that would make that unsuccessful. One, you freak out, right? And you just kind of, you know, call a timeout, you tap out, whatever terminology you want to use. The other is you run out of air on your air tank, so it's taking you too long, and now that's not something you want to do. But we do that because you have to figure out how to function in darkness, because that's really challenging. And so the obstacle course will have things like, a chair that's in front of the doorway you need to go through, because maybe somebody did that and they were weird. You have to kind of feel around and see, are there any victims anywhere? What does that feel like? Because I can't just look and see the person. It's completely dark. And it can be really challenging. There's a certain part of the obstacle course where there's wires that are hanging that catch your gear and get you all tangled, and now you can't move. And the more you move, the more it tangles you up. And so you have to figure out, how do I get through that? There's a certain part of the obstacle course that'll be a wall that's studs but no drywall. And what that creates is the opportunity where I've gotten myself stuck in a room. I can't go out that way. So I've got to do what's called a wall breach. I've got to get through that wall. And so we have to figure out, how do you take your pack off and get through those studs and then get the pack back on all while staying on air? There's all these challenges. And it's pretty challenging and difficult, but once you understand and have developed the muscle memory to do all that, it gives you a lot more confidence, because what you're doing is you're trying to add light to your brain, is the way I would say it. You're trying to create a picture in your head of what there is around you. In other words, you're trying to illuminate through your other senses what that environment looks like. And when you do that, and when you're able to do that, then you can see in a different way. Now, I will say this, as an instructor in those situations, it's hilarious to watch. Like, you're watching somebody feel around and, like, you see what's right in front of them, right? You see what they're trying to overcome. You see the ease at which they could overcome that. But they're struggling. And there are times if a trainee is really struggling, we might reach in and grab some of those wires and just, you know, make it not quite as difficult for them because we see them really struggling, right? We might yell into the maze like, did you feel the window on your left? Or, you know, something. We might make some suggestions there to try and help them out. And oftentimes I have thought, as I've seen firefighters and I myself struggle in that maze, I've often thought, I wonder if that's a little bit of a picture of what it's like when we don't lean into our relationship with God, when we don't lean into the light and the guidance that God provides, and he's watching us struggle in this maze of life, getting entangled and trying to figure out, and he could very easily just reach down and remove that entanglement for us. But listen, if we get a firefighter through that maze, but they haven't learned the skills to actually get them through that, it's been a disservice. We have not trained them to make it through when their life depends on it, when other people's lives depend on it. And I often think, man, I wonder if God sees us in this maze of life, if you'll bear with me with the illustration for just a minute, with this maze of life, and we're simply not leaning into the light and the guidance that God provides. He shows us the right way to go and the things to avoid. You know, the other thing to think about, in this culture, when Jesus was saying this, light was very important. It was really important. You didn't, like today, you didn't just walk into the next room and flip the switch and turn the light on, right? That wasn't the case. Light was incredibly important. You literally had to carry light with you where you went. Small clay pots that were filled with olive oil that had a wick that were lit, those lamps that literally you carried that with you when you went. Light's something that is intended to go with us to help provide as we go. It provides, and a lot of times we think about we use words like the ambiance, right? What's the light setting in the room? Someone was asking me about changing out some lights earlier this week, and they said, well, we want to put in LEDs, but are LEDs going to be super bright or not? And I said, well, you know, you can get lights and you can adjust the temperature setting of the LEDs, right? Some of you, not if you understand what I'm talking about. You don't. Some of you don't. So, kind of like, okay, how about this, old school people? Remember the little dimmer switch on the wall? There we go, right? And you can change the temperature of the light, right? Because it creates this environment, this warm feeling, right? Light creates and provides warmth oftentimes. It helps set the environment. It helps set the tone. I think we probably all realize, but I'll point it out to us, we realize that without sunlight, life would stop, right? Sunlight is important, critical to life here on earth. Light is that important. It's that critical. No wonder Matthew, in Matthew chapter 5, we're told that we are the light of the world. Now, hold on a second. That sounds like a contradiction. Are we the light of the world, or is Jesus the light of the world? Which is it? Well, Jesus is the light of the world, but as he said in John chapter 12, if you follow me, right, what's it say? Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That's how we are the light of the world, because we have Christ. We have the light, so we reflect the light. Matthew 5 goes on to say, you don't light a lamp and then hide it. That's not something you would do. That makes no sense. In fact, the light gives light to the whole house. Light is something that spreads to those around it. And as is true for us as well, as followers of Jesus, we should be carriers, spreaders of the light around us. It gives light to the whole house. Imagine if you would if this morning, all of a sudden, all the lights went out? Well, some of you are a little nervous right now. And you're turning on your phones. Cheaters, cheaters, turn those phones off. Look down at your notes. You can't see your notes unless you're on an iPad or something. If I told everyone, okay, let's stand up and walk out, that would make us a little bit nervous because we can't see where we're going. And by the way, all the lights are out, but there's a few lights here for the electronics. I know we're getting a little ambient light from, you probably can't even see where I'm pointing, but there's some ambient light from the windows, even though the shades are on there, right? Darkness can be a little unnerving, can it? All right, let's shed a little light on the situation. How's that, right? Big difference, right? Light and darkness. I imagine the longer I would have waited to say, let's turn the lights back on, the more unnerving it would have been for us. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying. I'm the light of the world. If you follow me, you'll never walk in darkness. Does that mean you'll never be in a room with the lights out? No. Spiritual darkness. That's what he's talking about. As unnerving as it is to sit in physical darkness, especially when we've been in the light, right? Especially when we've been in the light, even more so, spiritual darkness. Especially when you've seen the light. And so, I encourage you to consider the light of Christ in your life. By the way, in John chapter 8, verse 12, when he says, I am the light of the world, he says that right before he heals a man who was born blind. Talk about living in darkness, right? He brought light to that man's life in a physical and a spiritual way. Well, back to the original verse, John chapter 8, verse 12. There are two promises that we see in this verse as well. He says, whoever follows me, there's kind of the condition, right? The condition of the promise. That's how promises work. There's a condition and then there's a promise, right? If you clean your room, I'll give you allowance. You know, if you get an A, we're going to go get ice cream. There's condition and then there's a promise, right? We get that. So here's the condition, whoever follows me. It's amazing to me how often we want God's blessing, but we don't do it God's way. I forget who I was talking with this week, actually. We were talking about that very thing. We pray for God's blessing, and then we go do things our own way. And we wonder, why do I not have God's blessing? Because you're not doing it his way. So the condition, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. There's the first promise. Never walk in darkness. What does that mean? Does that mean you're never going to be confused? Does that mean you're never going to not see things clearly? No. But what it means is you'll never be held by the darkness. There's an assurance. If you follow Christ, there's an assurance of salvation, of relationship, of his guidance and leadership. Does that mean we don't experience darkness? No, it means that darkness doesn't overcome us. We don't walk in darkness. We don't stay there. Reminds me of what we read in Psalm 23. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There's two things in that verse that are meaningful to me in particular. It says we walk through the valley, not to the valley. It's a difference, right? You can go to or you can go through. God brings us through. And it's just the shadow of death. It's not death itself. And so we don't stay in darkness. That's not a place that we linger. We don't walk in darkness. The other part of the promise, the second promise, is that we have or we reflect the light of life. Notice what he says, but we'll have the light of life. I'm sure scientifically we all, or most of us know this, but you know, there are times you go outside and it's, you know, 9, 10, 11, 2 in the morning, whatever, and you go, wow, look at the moon. It's like huge. It's filling the sky. It's so bright. But the moon does not have any light of itself. The moon is simply reflecting the sun to us. And so when Jesus says, if you follow me, you will have the light of life. What he's saying is, what I give to you will be reflected to those around you, through you, in and through you. And that's a promise that we have or reflect the light of life. It's an incredible statement that Jesus makes here in John chapter 8. First of all, by saying, I am, identifying himself as God, but I am the light of the world. We understand the physical. I hope this morning that we have a little bit more understanding or at least confidence or faith in the spiritual implications of that. And Jesus is here to provide us our salvation. He's here to lead us out of the dark so that we understand those things that are dangerous or harmful. We live in a dangerous world, physically but spiritually as well. There's temptation all around. There's an enemy that wants to take you out. It's a dangerous place. Peter describes that enemy as a roaring lion looking for those that he could devour. And that's a pretty powerful picture, right? We live in a dangerous world. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I'll help reveal and I'll help guide the way for you. Is that where your faith is? Maybe someone here this morning and you say, I'm tired of stumbling around in the darkness. Many of us here have come to that conclusion already. We don't want to be stumbling around in darkness anymore, and we've put our faith in Christ. And if maybe this morning Jesus' statement that he is the light of the world reveals some things for you. So maybe for the very first time today, you would say, I'm going to trust that. I'm going to put my faith in that because I don't want to stumble around in the darkness anymore. Or maybe you've been a follower of Jesus, but maybe you've wandered a little bit from the light, or you just needed to be reminded this morning what Jesus does in our relationship with him. It's a powerful statement when Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness. That's my prayer for you this morning, that you would not walk in darkness. Let's pray. Father, this morning as we consider your word, consider what Jesus has said, Lord, we get it. We understand the difference between light and darkness. And God, we also understand that darkness is simply the absence of light. And those places in our lives that seem dark are simply because you're not there. You've not been there. We've not invited you in. And so this morning, I pray that you would help us to walk in the light as you are in the light, that we would understand your leadership, how you help us to avoid those things which would be harmful or dangerous to us, both physically and spiritually, that you would show us the way to go. And Father, help us to trust, to put our faith in, to walk in step with you. Thank you for that. In Christ's name, amen.